Okay, that's right. Correct. All right, so on the one hand, an idea seems to be one, right? But any idea that you have is an idea of something. Any idea that man has, any scientific idea, is always an idea of something. So whatever the idea may be one, but the idea is always going to be of many. So it's always related to many. So multiplicity is sort of in the idea. So it's not truly one. Okay? All right. Now it's like this. V'lo echod kiguf, and certainly not one like a physical body, shehu nechlak l'machlokos l'ksaros. But if you take an individual, a physical entity, like a human being, okay, so you'll say, well, there is one, because it's not like a concept that includes many human beings, but this is one human being. So he says, but then that's also not one, because it's always subject to division. Okay? It's always subject to components. Alright? So, since it's subject to division, so then this also lacks in oneness. So he says, Elo yichud she'en yichud acher kamoso ba'olam. He said, but it's a oneness that there is no such oneness that exists in the world like that oneness. Okay? True one. Now he says, Iloha, now he goes to explain. Iloha yu'alos ha'bei, if there were many gods, he says, ha'yu gufun ikvios, then there would have to be physical bodies. Mipnei, she'ena nimnin ha'shovin b'mtzi'usun, nifrodin zemizeh ela b'ma'oloren she'yiru b'gufos v'agvios. Okay. So he says like this. He says, why do we say, when we say God is one, what exactly do we mean? We mean like this. He has to be one because if he were not one, meaning if there were many gods, okay, if there were many gods, they would have to of necessity be physical. Why? Because the only way you could differentiate between two things that are the same is in concept, is through the fact that they're physically apart. In other words, what it means is like this. What it means, let's say for instance you have an idea of a triangle, okay? So the idea of a triangle is one. Now how can you distinguish between one triangle and another triangle? The only way you can distinguish is if they're incorporated into physical objects. Like you have a triangle on a bridge, okay? And you have a triangle, made out of three sides of wood, three pieces of wood. Okay? So you're saying this triangle and that triangle. But you can't distinguish between the idea of triangle itself, but that's a single idea. You can't say there are two ideas. Okay? So now the answer is this. He's saying that since the idea of God, okay, is the idea of a certain being in abstract, alright? So it's impossible that there should be more than one. Because the only way you have more than one is if an object is physical, so then you can distinguish between one human being and another human being. You can't distinguish between one idea of a human being and another idea of a human being. The idea is one idea. But when it exists in two physical human beings, so then you can distinguish. This one's here, that one's there. But otherwise, you could not distinguish. So since God, the idea of God, okay, is an idea of an abstract existence, okay, an existence that's non-physical, so it's impossible to have more than one. You follow? No. Okay. There was a premise, and that was if, what he's saying is, so what the Rambam is saying is that when you say God is one and not two or more than two, what you're saying in that, what you're saying basically is that he's non-physical. Okay? Because if you were to believe that he's more than one, he would have to be physical. Okay? Alright? So therefore the Rambam says, by the moment you say that God is non-physical, you're ipso facto saying is one. Question was raised about soul of a person, let's say, is non-physical, and yet they're and yet there's more than one. Angels, right. Yeah.
Ideas.
Yeah. Idea, no. See, let me do this. See, in angels, for instance, there are different levels of intelligences. So the different level will be a distinction. It will be a different thing. Okay? So let's leave angels out anyways, because same angels are. But insofar as a person, as people are concerned, the question happens to be a very good question. It's one of the Rambam and the Mora mentions it, and he doesn't really want to go into it. I mean, over there. I mean, I'll just give you briefly what I think could be a possible answer. And that is that the soul of a human being is really something which is constructed, which emerges from the way the person exercises his or her bechirat. Right? Now, insofar, so therefore, there is a difference between one soul and another because there's a difference in the description of the soul. In other words, like a tzaddik, like let's say a tzaddik, right, a rasha doesn't exist after he dies. But a tzaddik and a tzaddik gomer, let's say. Okay, so one person is righteous, another person is absolutely righteous. Okay, so there's a difference in the description of the soul, because the choices that a person makes in this existence affects what the soul becomes. The soul has a capacity for being in existence, and the way one exercises one's bechira is what determines what the individual soul is. So souls are different from each other. They're different. Okay? I ask you a question, what are two people exactly the same? Not two people exactly the same. Yeah. So two gods with a different description is impossible. Because then what you're saying is that each one is not infinite. Because you're saying that each one. Uh-huh. So therefore that's an impossibility. In other words, the idea of God means that being who is traceable from the observable universe. And what the Rambam is saying is that if one uses one's mind in understanding the observable universe, they will see that there is a source of existence that's infinite. But to say two would mean that you would not be following this idea. I mean, let's say you'd say that there's a, that's why you had shtei rishuyos, like the one of the ancient beliefs was always two powers. Why two? Good and evil. One is the source of good and one is the source of evil. But that is not something which the Rambam says is traceable from the observable universe. That wouldn't work. But that's where a person is projecting their own kind of thing onto nature, saying there's good, there's bad. There's source of good and source of bad. But that's not what the Rambam is describing in the very beginning, where he says that you must be able to see that the observable universe is a result of a being that is an infinite chachma. What you see from that is a source of infinite chachma. So you can't say two sources of infinite chachma, that's impossible. So that idea of God is only, it's only possible to trace it to one idea. Okay? If you're following that concept. Alright? If a person is going in a different way, like the ancients that believed in the duality, so then you're saying, what you're saying is basically that you're projecting onto reality a good and an evil. That's not what the process the Rambam is talking about. Okay? This methodology can only result in one idea. Okay, one. Alright? Now, the only way to say more than one would be to say that this idea leads to a physical being. Then you'd be able to differentiate between one and the other. But the moment you say that this being is non-physical, can't be more than one. It's impossible. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? That's correct. If a person would believe in sub-deities, but he believes that there is one God, that's the way it seems that Dorian should believe, there wouldn't be a violation of this principle of Echad. Okay? Right. That would, that is a good question, really. Because it comes out very strange that a person can believe in God, okay, and he can believe even that God is one, okay, and yet be an over to Vodazar. That's strange. Okay? That's strange. That is something worth noting. And the fact is that that is strange, because we're saying, according to this, a person can be the other ones. They believe in the Egyptians. They believe in sub-deities. But they believe in one God. So it's possible to say they believe in God, and they believe that he's one, all right, because they thought they agreed that he's non-physical, but yet they love their brother Zohar. And they became two of the biggest mitzvahs in the Torah. That's strange. Okay? All right, we'll come back to that. That's an important question. All right? Now, let's just go a little further. So this. He says, now why is it that you can't believe that God is physical? So he goes back over similarly what I said before. And if the Creator were physical, had a body, there would be an end, he would be finite. Alright? Because a substance of mass has finite energy. It's impossible to have a physical entity that's infinite. Okay? I'm not going to go into the proof of that, but he says a physical object can never be infinite. It has to be finite. Now, v'chol sheyesh l'gufo keitz v'tachlis, and anything whose physically is finite, yesh l'kocho keitz v'tachlis, the case itself. So then the energy also has to be finite. V'elokeinu baruch shmo ho v'kocho ein l'keitz v'en aposeik, because since you see he is infinite, Shari Hadag also is Tamid, like he mentions before, okay, that the there's an infinite power in the universe. Ein kocho koach guf. So his strength is not the strength that stems from a body. V'ol vein a guf, lo ye'er lo ma'oros a gufos, kidei shehe nechlak v'nefrod me'achem. So therefore, it's impossible that you should that you can distinguish him from anything else. There can't be more than one, in other words. Okay. The ficha, therefore, the only possibility is one. Then he says the dias devezan, and this concept is mitzvah, is a positive commandment. Shema, the Shem Elokim, the Shem Echad. All right. So all these ideas, basically, I said last time, stem from Tzur. Now. So the question, of course, over here is that there seems to be a redundancy.
Yeah.
Right? Because it would seem it wouldn't be necessary to have the mitzvah of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad once you have the first mitzvah. Because the first mitzvah already describes the method, what we mean by believing in Anochi. What is the Anochi? Okay? So it's obvious that the Anochi, you trace the observable universe to the being of infinite wisdom, whose existence is the only real true existence, and who you have to be able to demonstrate that he's infinite, like the Rambam says in Hay. So then that's it. So this whole mitzvah of Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad seems to be redundant. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
There's nothing new here that he didn't say before. Okay, and yet he says these are two mitzvahs. Alright? Okay, so you have that problem, and plus you have the problem we mentioned before, that lo yir l'chol l'nachem al-ponai, right? And the Rambam says if you violate that commandment, then simply you've denied the entire basis, the ikkur that everything depends upon, which is God. Okay? So, let me answer the question. See, the answer is, you have to look carefully what the Rambam says. See, the Rambam says after the first mitzvah and after the second mitzvah, you notice what he says? He says, the idias devazem mitzvah sasei. He says, the knowledge, this knowledge is a mitzvah sasei, is a positive commandment. And then after Zion, where he has the halacha of achdus Hashem, he says again, the ideas dovers and mitzvahs. What does the Rambam mean? The Rambam means the knowledge. This knowledge is the mitzvah. Okay, which means to say as follows: the Rambam means that even if, let's say, you have an individual who is a great thinker and who studies the universe and arrives at the same conclusion as Avraham Avinu, that there is a source. That is, the universe is manifests unbelievable chachma, and there must be a source for that chachma, and that source cannot be physical because the chachma is infinite. Okay? So if a person comes to that conclusion and say, okay, and that's the only thing that's real, that existence, he's worked out good, so he understands the idea of God and be in conformity with the idea of God in the Torah. Okay, like Albert Einstein would say. Alright? Fine. But let's say somebody would ask him, what a person would say, this God that you believe in, is he one or is he many? Alright? And there's a good question, I have to think about it. You see? Now, if he would say, I have to think about it, alright, at that moment that he says that, it shows you he was never Mekayim the second mitzvah. Why? Because the second mitzvah, the second positive mitzvah of Ad Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad means you must know this proof. That's what it answers. You diyas devazah, the knowledge of this is a mitzvah say. Shalem Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. In other words, if a person somehow or other had enough knowledge, and it's very possible that sort of intuitively intuits the idea of God. Okay? So he would be from the observable universe, he would be Mekayim the first mitzvah. But he would not be Mekayim the second mitzvah, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second mitzvah demands that you reflect and you think about God's existence and you realize that he has to be one, because it's impossible once you have a proper idea of God, it's impossible that he should be more than one, because the properties of number only exist in a physical entity. Okay? Now if you had never thought about that next step, then you were not Mekayim Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. It's an interesting thing.
You were Mekayim Anochi
Hashem? Yes, Mekayim Anochi. Mm-hmm. Right, you were Mekayim Anochi. Mm-hmm. You were Mekayim Anochi, but you were not Mekayim Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. That's what the Rambam says, he would be Ashtabas and Mitzvah say. The knowledge of this idea is a positive commandment, which means you must understand and you must know that number relates to, if you deal with the same entity, you must, in order to have known, you must have a physical entity. And that's why God can never be more than one. Alright? That's why he can never be more than one. If you don't understand that, okay, and if you don't understand also that his oneness is different than the oneness of anything else, because he's not like an idea that's related to physical, he's completely removed from physical things, so therefore there is no way that there could be any multiplicity in him whatsoever. You have to understand that idea. That multiplicity is a property of the physical, and since he is non-physical, there is no possibility of any kind of multiplicity relating to God. That's absolute oneness. Okay? Now if you don't understand that idea, and if you've never thought about that, so then, even if you were a great thinker and a great scientist and a great philosopher, and you had the right idea of God, but you never thought of this aspect, you never thought any further, you sense there's a God. People have, a human being has a tzelem l'kin, so he has good intuition, and he intuits the idea of God, and he's right. But if you never thought into the oneness of God and why that idea that he has of God implies a oneness of which there is no like in the universe, if he never thought about that concept, then he was not Mekayim the second mitzvah. That's what the Rambam means. So while it's true that Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, the second mitzvah of Achdus Hashem, is not anything which is based on a new kind of thing, because it can't be, okay, because only one God and there's one concept of God, but it is a further dimension in the unraveling of the knowledge of the human being vis-a-vis God. That it's a further dimension so far as a human being's act of knowledge is concerned, not a further dimension so far as God is concerned. You see? That's why it's a second mitzvah. All right? And so far as God is concerned, there can't be anything further. That's it. The first idea. That's it. Okay, but insofar as the human being is concerned, that there's different levels of how far the person has arrived, at how much thought he has given to the idea of God. Okay, you see, it's an interesting thing. The interesting thing is another interesting thing, which is which we could have raised as a question, but actually, I mean, right now we're just bringing it to explain, to further support this concept, because you can ask, you see, the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvahs, and oh, I think we even have Sefer Mitzvahs, yeah, it's interesting, yeah, Sefer Mitzvahs here, the Rambam says when he, in the beginning, when he has Achdus Hashem, so he says an interesting thing. He talks about the mitzvah of the oneness of God, and he talks about the greatness of that mitzvah. Okay? He says that mitzvah Beis, the second one. He had sivui shesivana b'hamana seichu. Okay? In understanding the truth of the oneness of God. Okay, and then he says, Vushinam and Shapalam Sisus Basa Rishana Echad is one. Vulam and Sah Smash all the time Shinachot. Okay, below the Drushos Timsoyim Omrim, you'll find them saying in the Medrash, Almanasli Yachidus Shemi. Almanasli Yachdini. Okay, Rotsim Bazaar Maimar, what do they mean by that? That Anachno Omrim Hotsion Me Abdus, that God took us out of slavery. And he did all these good things for us, beyond the condition that we accept and understand the idea of God's oneness. He could come and say, "I'm mitzvah malchus shamayim." Ki heim omen kedei lekabel of malchus shamayim. All right. So you see, so yichud Hashem is a very very big mitzvah. According to the Rambam, it's the mission of the Jew. I mean, that's really why God took us out of Mitzrayim. So it comes that a person that doesn't involve himself in this second mitzvah of Yichud Hashem is really a kafir tov, is a denier of the good. All right. So this is an unusual this mitzvah. So why is this bigger? The first mitzvah doesn't say that. First mitzvah doesn't say that. Yeah. So what is so unusual about this Achdus Hashem? And you see, I mean, I don't know if you say in Shabbos you say. This is the tefillah of Mechoni Benakana. Ona b'cholach. Okay. Ona b'cholach gedulas in mincha tati tzuro. Kabul is amcha. Nora. Nogi b'doshi yechudcho. Nogi b'. Doshi yechudcho kivevah shamrei. Okay, and it's those who seek your oneness, which is far as well, you should guard them like the apple of your eye. Okay, so what does he say? You see, he doesn't say the ones who believe in God. He says Dorshe Yechudcha. That's the same idea. And means that the Yichud Hashem is a very special mission of the Jew. But it gives the Jew his uniqueness. Alright, the Dorshe Yechudcha, those are the ones. No Giva Dorshe Yechudcha Kevora Shamra. Alright? So what is so special about Yechudcha? What is so special? The answer is like this. The answer is that there were people who intuited the existence of the Creator. Okay, they intuited the existence of the Creator. And it's a level. It's a high level. But that's not enough for Klal Yisrael. It means Klal Yisrael not only knows the idea of God, but they've thought there's a further unraveling, and they've thought about God, and they've thought about the idea, and they understand what it means, and they understand that he must be devoid of any physical kind of taint. There cannot be any physical concept, any physical idea relating to God. See, that second stage of development, that's what differentiates the Jew from those who in the world who even intuited the idea of God. The second level, that's a different level of existence, you see. And that is really, that's the level of the Jew. That's Dorshe Yechudcha. The Jew is unique in that he is Dorshe Yechudcha. Dorshe Yechudcha. And it's a constant process. It means that he is the one that not just intuits the existence of God, but he thinks about the existence of God, and he has a clear apprehension of what he means by God. Okay, and then he understands the oneness and the fact that God is completely removed from any type of physical that we perceive in the universe. That's the highest level. So Yichud Hashem is really, is very special. It is more special than just belief in Hashem. Okay?
Yahweh says,
"Bayam Ahu, Yahshem, Achor Shmachar." Bayam Ahu. Bayam Yahshem, Achor Shmachar, right. But then he says, everybody will recognize Achdus until then, I'm going to call Yisrael. But in the future, it will be, That's the goal. And that goal can only be brought about for Klal Yisrael. Yes?
I'll make sure I
phrase
this, please.
Okay. Let me take the other question. I think I might answer this question right here. So the other question was, So we said, the plain implication is that it means that not that the person has the wrong idea of God, that certainly is, completely off. But even if a person has the correct idea of God, the correct notion, but they have an idea of a sub-deity, they too are violating the law, okay? And according to the Rambam, it's a total denial of everything. Now, why is that so? The answer is like this. See? Since we've explained the way the Rambam really understands the mitzvah, these two mitzvahs, and the second mitzvah especially, as a further development of thought insofar as the human being is concerned concerning God, okay? So what it means is that and the way we explained before also, like last week, that it's a certain grasp of the mind of the idea, right? It's a certain reality perception. So if the perception is not done through the proper vehicle, it means if the vehicle of the mind is distorted, then it's not even good intuition. Okay? I actually use the word intuition, I use the word intuition loosely. Because intuition doesn't have a clear meaning. It could mean sometimes something you feel emotionally, it could be something a scientist senses with his intellect. Okay, so what the Pasuk is saying like is that if a person thinks, well, yirachol imachem aponai means that if a person thinks that there are sub-deities, so what does that show? That shows that the thinking process in this area is completely distorted. Because where did they arrive at such an idea? Such an idea caters to the emotions of a human being. See, that's why there are... That's why men invented the idea of sub-deities. Because sub-deities give a person comfort. I think there's a little god of this thing, there's a little god of that. The god of the saints, you know, the saint of the traveler, the saint of the sick, the saint of these different, all these things, you know, I mean, give a person a certain, very comfortable notions for people, like the protective type of comforting feelings emerge from these ideas. It's like, I remember I was golfing one time with a guy, and he got it in the last shot, he was successful. So he said, the golf gods were helping me today. That idea, the reason why a person invents that idea. Matter of a great psychologist one time asked a question. The question is, why do people really believe in that? Because truth of the matter is they're modeling it after a parent. There's only one father. Okay, one mother. Okay, so they say, two. Why do I have so many deities? But I think the reason is because a person always has a certain amount of guilt. So a person knows that they do things wrong. So if there are different gods, it's very good, because if he's in this department, he may be good, see? The other guy knows the other department. This is over here, okay, I'm safe. Yeah? So it's a very kind of convenient mental structure. Alright? Yeah, but you have this... But Yadis doesn't take that idea very lightly. It's considered the most serious avera possible. Why? Because it means that the person's knowledge is not operating with regard to the most important thing in their life. And that's exactly what it does. Because this distorts a person's entire life. and may the person can remove the guilt this way, and therefore their whole life is based on fantasy and illusion. Sounds harmless, but the Torah is the only religion that recognizes that as the worst evil. And there's no religion that says that an idea like that is terrible. As a matter of fact, they endorse the idea. That's why those things usually make people religious. But in Yahadis, that is the worst possible thing. Because that means a person's whole life is a life of fantasy and illusion, and their existence is simply worthless, because God created me for the Elohim, for Chachman, for the intellect. So that's why what the Rambam says, now we understand what the Rambam says in the first negative mitzvah, second one that he mentions, okay? That lo yiyachol imachem al panai means that the moment you introduce the idea of sub-deities, then what does it show? It shows that your mental apparatus is not functioning in this area. Then you deny the holy cargo. If that's the case, even if you had an intuition, a correct intuition of God as a divine being, okay, infinite, but that was just a feeling. It wasn't really based upon your chachma. If at the same time you can entertain the idea of sub-deities, which means you just cater to your emotions, so then you denied everything. So that's why you see the Torah, the way the mitzvahs are structured, these three mitzvahs are very precise. Okay? The first mitzvah, I say, is an accurate idea of the one creator. Okay? Then you have a further development where thought goes into the idea of what is meant by this creator. That's Achdus Hashem. That's really Achdus Hashem. And in my opinion, I would say that any kind of knowledge that a person has of God, after the first step where they understand the existence of God, all goes into Achdus Hashem. Everything goes into Achdus Hashem. Everything, any kind of metaphysical knowledge, after the knowledge, the very first knowledge that God exists, anything about God is really all, that's all Achdus Hashem. It's all called Achdus Hashem. So therefore, you see, so that's why these mitzvahs are really expressed very, very, very carefully. You have first the basic mitzvah, okay, the first mitzvah. Then you have the knowledge and the study and the understanding of Achdus Hashem, further development. And then you have, in the negative, however, in the positive, you need two. Because first there's the knowledge of God's existence as one, and then there's an understanding, a further understanding of Achdus Hashem, right? But in the negative, you don't need to, you only need one. Because the moment you have a distortion, that's the end of the whole thing. See? That's why in the negative, it's lo yiyachol imachem al panai, because the moment you have something crazy there, then that's it, then the whole thing's on. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam really means, what the Rambam means is certainly, I mean, if he has the wrong idea, God goes without saying. But even if it's Elohim Achem al Panai, even if a person thinks that besides God there's some other sub-deities there, so that's what Ram mentions there. He says, V'kofa b'ikur shezeu ikar gol shekol tovah. He says that a person who has any wrong notions, even if they're notions of deities beside, alongside God, then it's called for bigger, because then everything's lost. Everything's lost, and everything is all those notions are worthless. Okay? No. You have to have the right idea. And the idea of one creator is in the first mitzvah. Don't let me give you a false impression. The idea of God must be one. There's no question about that. But if someone would say, why do you think that God is one? And you could not respond and say, because since God is non-physical, he must be one. Because the only way you can differentiate between something that is non-physical is if insofar as it occupies a physical body. See, if you don't know that, if you've never thought about that, and you don't know that idea, then you won't have a kind of second. Okay, you must know that idea, you must have thought about it. They say, even though the person will have a correct concept of God, and of course it will be one God, but they say, why? Can you prove it? I can't prove it.
Okay.
Can't prove it? Then you know you want the kind of the next month. Okay? That's the It means like a equilateral triangle. A person would say so, or you have, let's say, an isosceles triangle. So you can sense somehow that the angles, the opposite angles, are equal. But to prove it is a little bit more difficult. But it's the same thing over here. That even if the person has a correct perception of God, okay, and in that perception he only perceives one being, but to be able to prove it and demonstrate it is another level. That's another, that means there was a thinking that went into it after the perception of God. And that's why I say really all metaphysics is Yichud Hashem. All metaphysics is comes under Yichud Hashem. Because it means thinking about God and understanding God is a second level. That's Manas Liachdeni. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to understand the negative too. You have to understand that when you say many gods, what does that mean? That means ipso facto that that you're referring to a physical God. And so you must know that idea itself, you must know. See? What does it mean when you say many gods? What exactly does that mean? That's ipso facto physical. You have to know that. And you have to thought about it, and your mind has to grasp it properly. Because it's possible to be Mekayim the first mitzvah without this. That was one of our questions.
Right.
He said, since the second is based upon the same idea as this, so how can you Mekayim the first without the second? But no, you can't. If a person is a true polytheist, so that means that there is no thought process whatsoever with regard to relationship to God. And that's just complete projection of their emotions.
Sure.
It's just like Wallace Budge. He was one that was one of the first Egyptologists. So he said, when you look at the Egyptian writings, you'll see that they believe in one God overall, but they don't talk too much about him. It's like but all their worship and service is always with the sub deities. And he says it's amazing. He says. They sound like they're totally dichotomized, because on the one hand, what they do say about God, the one God, is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing in terms of it. But then all their life is involved in this childish kind of worship and nonsensical activities. But the reason is because they can't relate to the one. They recognize one God that's the source of all existence, but that's it. And now they're into human affairs, and they're looking for the security of a humankind, a God that they can relate to emotionally on human terms.
I mean,
basically the idea, the Christian idea of a man God is the same exact thing. I mean, why do the Christians have, you ask me a question, why do the Christians say that it's the most absurd notion in the world to say that a person is God? I mean, it's crazy, like Ramban says, that nobody in their right mind could accept such an idea if they weren't raised in it from old joke. So why do they, but what's the powerful force, and definitely in terms of a force, it's the most powerful religion in the world. And the reason is because people want that comfort, and they can relate to that. They can relate to a person loving them, and they're looking for that. That's very fits one of their emotions for a person. So that's why they invent the sub deities, because they can't. They may recognize the idea that there must be a source for existence, but that doesn't do their personal lives. See, that's really the challenge of the artist. That's the challenge of Yahus, to be able to relate to the one God and not to cater to one's fantasies and emotions. So that's why Yahus is very hard. That's why Yahus is so difficult. It's interesting. Avas Hashem is really a further stage. Avas Hashem, this is certain knowledge that a person must have, and once they've attained that knowledge, so then that's the end of those first mitzvahs. I mean, Mekayim's mitzvahs. I mean, I shouldn't say it's the end, because it's the mitzvahs, but I mean, they were Mekayim's mitzvahs. But Avas Hashem is something more. Avas Hashem is really a process Alas Hashem is how a person's energies are channeled. Okay? That's a different idea. In other words, you could have a person that has the knowledge in their mind, okay, but it doesn't necessarily mean that all their energies are channeled towards this perception. And Alas Hashem, it means the person is constant. The energies are channeled towards only this. This is the only real existence, and everything is channeled towards knowledge of God. But it's a total channeling of energy. But the Rambam says that the Ahava cannot be nikva, cannot be established in the heart of a person, Elohim Kain Shoga Batamat, unless he's constantly involved. It must be a constant involvement. Avas Hashem really is a different kind of level. It means that there's a constant involvement on the part of the personality in reaching forth to God and understanding God. That's a different level.
But how far do you take this?
That's right. But it's another dimension. There's one idea of God, but it's another dimension. This is an intellectual unraveling in Avas Hashem, and Avas Hashem is a psychological relationship.
I thought it was based on
the idea. Yes, it is based on the idea. But when I say psychological, I mean the energies of the psyche are being directed and channeled in a certain way. The dynamics of the psyche are different in the person that's an Oy Hashem than a normal person. Different dynamics of the psyche. The energies are being dispensed in a different quantities. Okay? It's a different phenomenon.
The person
of
Avas Hashem.
Yeah, we'll see that Avas Hashem is possible even if the person didn't have the Yichur Hashem. Because as long as he has the Anochi, Hashem Alekecha, he understands the idea of God. So, I mean, then he could be drawn and he could spend his life in Chachma and perceiving God's Chachma. And that's Avas Hashem. So, yeah, Avas Hashem really is a psychological frame. It comes up from the Anochi at Hashem Alekecha. There are two lines that are drawn.
Right.
One is an extension, metaphysical extension, which means not just perceiving the idea of God correctly, but really conquering the knowledge. Okay. And then there's another line, which is the person's psyche, extension insofar as that first idea is concerned, and how this person arranges his psychological energies.
It's not dependent on each other.
Right, that's correct. It's not dependent on each other. That's right. You have Anochi and Avas Hashem, and you have Anochi and Yichur Hashem. I mean, it is true. What Ron says, with the honor of B'chach, and it says, Dorshe Yechutcha. I think Dorshe Yechutcha means that they're searching, engaged in searching. But technically, Avas Hashem means, even that isn't enough for Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem, real Avas Hashem is means the person is Shoga Batama. Yeah, the reason why the Ram doesn't say that over here is because insofar as Avas Hashem is the Rav Kachachem Zolva, because it's very difficult for a person to change their psychological makeup. And that's something that's not completely in an individual's power. That's what the Ram says, Lav Kol Chacham Zochav. I mean, to the fullest degree, the fullest measure. So there's a certain quality of Avas Hashem that even great Chachamim weren't successful at a time. Because you can't just make over, redo your psyche. But as far as Anoch Hashem Lekecha and Yichur Hashem, that's something which a person can do. I mean, once you have the Anoch Hashem Lekecha as a mitzvah, then everyone can do it. And when I mention the signs, it's like a person on his own. It's a rarity, yeah. But but once you have the mitzvah, one can do it. A person, one does not have to be a great scientist in the Kamina or something. You have to have a certain amount of knowledge and, but not, okay, that's right. Enough to be able to see it. Well, what he's saying is, if there wouldn't be constant negative shear, could be a problem with culting of the rest. That's a good idea. How can negative shear? Me and my papa, the same as papa said differently. Vaksiv lo sitam lo sitam u bohem vinit mesem bom lo sitam u bohem. Okay, vinit mesem bom. Vavama papa, me can't stomach good or ice. Alright, so what does that say? Gabe Chilik says, Al Tishak says, Nafsha Shechem Ben Al Chilik. Velo Sitamu Bahem, Lozi Azor Estomo, isn't clear yet, but I've got it. So the Yisrael Muzhorm of the Tame, the Chesed Amal Kohanu, Kohanu Muzhorm, the Yisrael Muzhorm. Elo Azor Sachilosan, Elo Azor Sachilosan, who? Okay. Uksiv, and it may seem bad, Mashma Shal Yidei Achilosan Titamo. Alright? So you see that what? That through eating something that's a double tame, you can become tame itself. So, yeah, so you see that Rav Papa said, I mean, he said, open him, can't you Thomas Gvia Daraisa? Anything better than that, he says himself. And Mara says, Midra Bana on the cross, Machta Bama. It's funny, I mean. But you see, one thing from this Gemara you have to remember, which is something that the Ritva mentions in Shavuos, that you can't be too quick to jump at the Lashon. Because he said, Rav Papa himself, he said two things exactly the opposite. Hanachu Thomas Gvid love the Raisa, and me and my papa, the papa said, Mikan, she Thomas Gvid the Raisa. So you see, you have to be careful. Lashon is not such a simple matter. That's what Rav says in Shavuot. It says, you have to follow Svar, not Lashon. Okay? So let's see Rashi. But why did he use that Lashon? He says, Mikan, she Thomas Gvid the Raisa. So Rashi said, so what is Rashi saying? When Rav Papa said, Mikan, she Thomas Gvid, when a papa said, Mikan she Thomas Gvir de Raisa, okay, so what did he mean? He meant not in the halachic sense, but he meant in the philosophical sense. That's what he meant. He says, the ikakro da shinu peret amalim amuna odom metame atzma ma'at metame nasa harbe. That's what he meant, Thomas Gvir de Raisa. You see? Okay, yeah. No, yes. That was what Papa, what was Papa saying? What he's saying this. I'm not Papa. He said, well, it's time by him, then it may some bomb. I'm not Papa. Mikan, she Thomas Gvir de Raisa. The Gemara says, Midra Banan, really? Ukras, mach the Bama. So what do you mean? So why do you say it's the Raisa? Well, it's time by him, then it may some bomb. I'm not Papa. Mikan, she Thomas Gvir de Raisa. The Gemara says, Midra Banan, really? Ukras, mach the Bama. So what do you mean? So why do you say it's the rice? Correct?
Yeah.
So what he means like this, what he means is that the Chachamim would never make a gzera were it not for some kind of a smachta from the Pasuk itself. So the Pasuk itself is really discussing Tuma, the Gemara Dashins, Velositamu Bohem, then it may some bump. So what's it referring to? It's referring to a metaphysical type of tumah. So really, the pasuk is speaking in philosophical terms. Was the tamu b'hem that it may sembam. Pasuk is not speaking in halachic terms. Speaking in philosophical terms. But you see, when the chacham created the tumah sagvia. So Tumas HaGviya really is a unique kind of thing. I mean, it's not, where do you see the concept? So therefore, what the Gemara says was the Asmachta was from the philosophical. They used the Asmachta from the philosophical. It's an interesting thing. What does that mean to say? That means to say that they didn't make it as an extension of Nivla Sof Tor. Right? Because really you have one case. You have one case where you do have the metamei de achila, correct? And what is that? That's nivlas of tar. That's what Rashi says. She'ein l'chod dava metamei odam al yedei achila le nivlas of tar. So why do they have to look for an asmachta and go and look at the chachamim? Asmachta means the chachamim really looked for an asmachta from the Torah itself in order to make the takan. All right. Okay, so they took the philosophical asmachta. Was a tamu b'hem and a mason bomb that's philosophically, if you eat these things, so then philosophically you'll become a low level. So, yeah. So, because the word tamu really, what does tamu mean? Tamu means, like the Rambam explained, that tamu means that the person is removed from the Migdash. That's always, tamu is always with has to do with Migdash. The Midrash represents Kedusha and Shechina, so it means that the person, it's an interesting thing. When we say Tameh, I mean, it's not to be translated like Lahavda Gaim, that I did on Queen. It means he's removed from God. That's what it means. Also, Tamu Bohem, and it may Simbam. He'll be through that,
You'll be removed from God. So, so that was the Esmachta, correct? That's Esmachta. So, why did he have to use that? Why didn't he just make an extension of Nivrasov Torah? Yeah, because the reason Tumah of Ov Torah, the Besa Bliya, is only Bishas Bliya. So it's a separate, it's not a Chila. It's a separate kind of phenomenon of Tumah. That Bishas Bliya, it's a Metame. The Besa Bliya, it's a Metame. But it's not really a Chila. You understand? So a Chila is a descriptive term, Rashi uses. But basically there is no, so therefore you can't have an extension of Nivla Saftar to the Metame Bachila. This is only Tameh Bishas, it's in the base of Bliyah. It's a special mechanism, a special type of structure of Tumah. Different kind of structure. In other words, it's like a Maga of a base of Bliyah, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of a Tzu of a Metameh. It's a unique Tzu of a Metameh, but it's not really a Chila per se. It's not really a Chila per se. You understand what I mean? So it's not like Nivla Saftar, which is a unique form of a Metameh, okay? Similar to like a kind of a maga, but this is really achila per se is the metame. So where were they based it on that achila is metame? So as our Papa says that they based it on the metaphysical of Ositamu Bohem and Mason Baum. Okay, that's the command of Lama Tesmerola. Okay. Interesting Gemara. Yes, we'll see what we want. Okay, Gemara says so they were metamtemus libishlo. It doesn't say that Tafis, Chaz is metamtem libishlo. It says that they were metamtemus. Because Chaz is not metamtem, very simple. Because Chaz betrays bubbles. So if you're going to say it's metamtem, you have to get rid of that law. But anyways, so metamtemus irashis, metamtemus otemus visosemus mikol chachma. That's what it really means. Okay? So it means to say like this. It means to say that that a maisa vera really removes a person from chachma. That's a tremendous principle in Yaddas. What is so bad about a vera? What does a vera do to a person? Does one thing. I mean, if a person doesn't have vera, it means he went away from the derech of chachma. That's essentially what a vera is. So now he wants to say this. Gemara says a complimentary kind of chazal. Tarabon, al titamu b'ayim in the mason bom, oda metame atzma ma'at metame nasa habe. No mato metame nasa ma ma'ilo. Bola mazem metame nasa lo ma bo. Okay. Tanabon, it's Kedishim, Yisim Kedosh, Yimono, Mekash, Yasma, Ma'at, Mekash, Yasma, Ha'abe, Ma'at, Mekash, Yasma, Ma'ala, Bala, Mazem, Mekash, Yasma, Ma'ala. Okay, so what are all these things? So basically, think with Rashi. Rashi says that, what does it mean? A Bala Tire, this Kedishim, Ma'at, Yisim Kedosh, Ha'abe, a Bala Tire, Messiah. So in general, that's what the statement means. Okay? Now the statement means, forget about the details, Ma'at, Ha'abe, Ma'at, Ma'ala, okay, leaving that out, the general concept in this statement is Messiah, that a Bala Tahir Messiah. Okay, so it means to say that's really you said in the philosophy of Yaddas, because Yaddas really is a naturalistic philosophy. It's natural. It recognizes the Teva Adam, and it recognizes Bechira Choshis, and really, basically, it states that a person that exercises the Bechira properly, okay, will have a proper soul, be structured properly, and have a proper existence. Okay, so it's essentially free will. Okay, but it also maintains that an individual just with the free will alone would not be successful, because there are always events in a person's life, and that he can't control. And therefore the person, while the person's sitkis is directly attributable to the exercise of their bechira, the results are not attributable to the exercise of their bechira. The results are greater than the normal exercise of the bechira would want. Okay? And Chazal say that the Yetzer Hara would kill an individual, and El Mole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Yefshalo, because it says so for Rosh Hashanah Tzadik and Vav and Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh just desires to just destroy the Tzadik. It means the Yetzer Hara wants to destroy the individual. So what does it mean? Basically, everything means that just like just like there are external events, there are internal events also. So it means to say, psychological and internal events. And it means to say that a person would, under normal circumstances, would be destroyed many times psychologically, because psychological internal problems. So if a person exercises Bechira properly, he has Ashgacha Benegeya to that as well. That's an interesting thing. The internal world and the external world. Okay.
Yeah.
It means to say that that when a person exercises Bechira properly, he is actually in contact with a different realm of existence. And his existence is different. That's the ordinary Ashgacha. That's a part of the built-in system of nature. Okay? That's a natural thing. It's not a ness, it's not chutzul teva, okay? Because it means now he's in a different realm. Okay, that's good. But what does it mean when it says the other way? That's fine, but what does it mean when it says negatively? Right, that's the gosh. Yeah, what does it mean? It means to say that there's a negative ashgacha? There's a negative ashgacha? Okay, I mean on the surface, to me. That's right. Rashi says, Menichin also litame harbe. So Rashi changes the pshat, and the Ritva does the exact same thing. The Ritva says, you have to caution one against taking Chazal literally. You understand? Because even though it says that mitamin also, it doesn't literally mitamin also. What it means is, they simply don't help them. That's all. So metamin also, you understand me? They simply do not help him. That's what I mean. Metamin also momala kloma sheyesh habe mastinin lat also. K'dechsev asat nomer alminos sitnal. The im mekadesh atzma momato. It says bolitame poschemo. Okay, what does it mean? Pirish, ain't more no fun of. They'll know him be other. That's what it means. It means that they are monea. Okay? The yesh gosen psachim lo. Boli tame psachim lo. Doors open up. The gosen achona, he says. Okay? Alright. Do amin leil, lagwe chasid of yishma. So it means, so what does it mean to say? So, but the question still is, why are you saying lost? It's still not, it should be, you understand? I mean, it should be really, if that's what it means, so, right, but the Gemara seems to say it's like the Marsha says, Zelu Mazer. That, I mean, it's, yeah, right? So what's. What they mean to say is like this. What they mean to say is that the realm of Bechira extends further than meets the eye. That's what it means. Because a person makes a bechira on it with regard to a certain decision, okay, so a certain situation, a certain fixed situation. So what it means is that if he makes the wrong bechira over there, all right, so then it's going to extend far beyond the range of the original area of decision. That's what it means. So in that respect, they're identical. Why? Because a bor latame is poschemo. Or psachimlo, like the Ritva's guesser, which means to say that he thinks he's making a decision with regard to A. Okay? Yeah, but the fact is, once he makes that decision, the doors open up. Because that's the way the instinctual life is. You see? And yeslo mastinin, what was he, momata no mylo? Momata means insofar as he is concerned. Means insofar as his own nature is concerned. That's one area. Okay? And Momaila means the, like the Ritva says, it means the Yeshua Mastinan Habe. He opened up a situation where now he's prey to every kind of internal and external situation. And it's a combination basically. Okay? So therefore, insofar as he affects himself internally, he's going to affect himself externally too. That's Momaila. Like a mato or a mato. It changes something on mato, it's going to change on mato also. But suppose, what did Chazal say? Chazal said that that a person, it says by, all right, means to say that it's never the situation. The person always say, well, I couldn't help myself. I saw a beautiful woman. I was got involved, did this. I was a victim, basically, of the situation. No. I don't accept that. It says, it happened internally. Internally. The external looks like the external, but basically it was an internal problem. See? So that's why Yeshua Mastin Habe. We say it's always out there. There's always Mastin out there. The thing is, once he makes a wrong decision on the internal, then he's going to get clipped from the external. The external as well. And that's why Rashi says that what? Menichin also, we tame habe. It doesn't even ask gacha for that one. It's menichin also, it's going to happen automatically. Automatically, it's going to take place. You see? And similarly, zelu mazeh, in other words, with regard to the other side, it's true as well. That a person makes a decision b'negei if he exercises bechira properly, in a proper manner, so then it's not just that he lost those other things, you see, but a new world opens up. Why? Because now he's in the range of a different kind of existence, and he's in contact with a different kind of world, the world of the Ashgacha. And that's Messiah means to say that the events and everything that takes place will, in other words, the exercise of his Bechira in a favorable way extends far beyond the decision of the moment. But it opens up our worlds, worlds for him in terms of his opportunity for perfection. See, it's true. Messiah is Ashgacha, but I think what it means, the reason why the Gemara says Messiah, because it is true, that is a natural thing, that there is a realm of Ashgacha. That's why the Gemara could not say, it is Elul Mazeh, but there also is a natural property as well. It's a natural property as well. And that's, one's not denying that. That when the person, it's both. In other words, there's a natural effect as well. Messiah also means, yeah, of course, it's true that there is Ashgacha. And without Ashgacha, Molech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozvel HaYachalo, but there is, that's what it means. It means he opened it up a certain amount, and there's a natural effect, but the Ashgacha completes it. Yeah, the reason why it's important, Messiah, is because it means the forces of nature. These things become under the Ashgacha, and that's why that's why it's plural. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that we spoke about once, that the exercise of Bechira is not a common day occurrence, a common everyday occurrence. But of course, if it means, in a case where there's real Bechira, where a person is in a situation where they're torn between two worlds, the world of the mind and the world of the emotions, they're torn and they follow the Chachma, and they exercise the Bechira properly, it means the real exercising of Bechira opens up a world for the individual. Okay, and then the opposite, if he doesn't exercise it properly, and he decides to follow the other part of himself, that then the road down is certain. But speaking about a real act of Bechira, which as we mentioned in another shiur, is a rare kind of, it's not everybody, is not Mais Machal Yom. The Rebbe was right when he characterized our site as the neurotic society. I mean, it is true. There's no question about it, which means to say that unfortunately, much of a person's energies are wasted in these neurotic kind of conflicts. I mean, that's really the sad situation of our door. I mean, not even on a level, most people are so bogged down with the psychological baggage. I mean, they can't even get to the realm of where of making a bechira. I mean, that's really the plague of this door. There's no question about it. That's a result of the society, and everybody suffers from it. What? He mentions in Va'ata Avdi that Kali Yisrael is plagued with by the other nations. There's no question that that's one of the things. means to say that unfortunately the Jew being in the society of the Goyim is plagued with this kind of baggage, psychological pain and conflict. And it's not because it's not his fault, I suppose. You know, that's something they picked up from being among the Umos. Picked up from the Umos. Originally, we didn't have such thing. That's why if you look at the Chazal, you will not find it. And so it's interesting, you will not find the Chazal, those kind of erotic conflicts that people experience today. You don't find it. Even in the Tanakh, you know, people were ashamed, but they made decisions. It wasn't Stam, today you only have a person making decisions. Stam and erotic. It's a different kind of I don't know if you call them a rush or what. It's a different kind of a thing. But the Chazal, you don't find such kind of problems that people have today. You could have a case where a person recognizes that he should be learning, and that's not a problem. He understands it, went through the arguments, and sees right, but he can't learn. Why can't he learn? I don't know. He gets nervous. I don't know. These are neurotic kind of problems. I mean, you don't find the Chazal, they don't discuss such things. The discussion over there is, what's the decision? It's a different kind of a plane of function. You know what I mean? It's a different plane of function. There's no question about it. And that's what you mentioned, you know, that's the plague of the door. I mean, it's this, the plague of this door, and probably goes back several doors.
Probably.
Yeah. I think people, the affluence actually destroys a lot of people. That's very simple, because the reason why it destroys them is because if you're not affluent, you haven't got the luxury of the time to spend with these neurotic conflicts. You have to keep busy, you got to keep going, you know what I mean? So in one sense, you know what I mean, the person is saved from a lot of this mental pain. That's why people find that they become more successful and more unhappy, and they have a more painful psychological existence. Because now they have the opportunity, the luxury, to spend time with the neurosis, neurotic things. I mean, the amazing thing in this society is that there's a total lack of understanding of the human mind, and therefore people do things that they consider free when these things are being done with the greatest amount of compulsion. it's an amazing thing, yeah. They think, they call that freedom, and really those are the most compulsive type of activities. Compulsive in nature, and they think, yeah, right, and they consider this to be they consider this to be free, because they have the money to do it. So that means it's free. I mean, but the act is a totally an act of compulsion. I mean, they can't even recognize. I mean, the difference between a freedom and what's not. They have no concept, no knowledge of the human mind at all. Yep. I mean, that's all part of the neurotic society picture, yeah. The positive I understand Olamaz Olamaz, because what it means is that Olamaz there, as far as a person can get, okay, in terms of having a type of existence which is good. I mean, there's a limit because you still have the physical. Even if you succeed, okay, so you have, so a person can experience learning and the chachma and the enjoyment, and it's fantastic. But there's a limit. Okay, there's an inherent built-in limit. And Makatsin Salam Abba means that which he had over here is expanded, infinitely, limitless. So that I understand. But what does it mean? What does it mean, the reverse? What is the reverse? Yeah. It means basically that the loss is an infinite one. That's what it means. Loss is an infinite one. Over here, it's a temporary thing. Over there, it's permanent. It means the loss is infinite. The loss is far greater, again, than the decision warrants. Okay, loss vachme, lose that. I mean, lose that. But the dimension of Olam Haba is not there. Once you hear the dimension of Olam Haba, it becomes an infinite loss.